Hey, what's up everyone and welcome back. Again, I'm Christy Alexander and I'm a dermatologist in Northern Kentucky, passionate about teaching the public about skin and how we can improve our skin health. So today's topic is going to be vitamin C. So this is a question I get from a fair number of patients and actually even family members. Like, what is all the excitement about vitamin C? Is it something that I should be using? Is eating it not enough? How often am I supposed to be using it? When am I supposed to be using it? What are the benefits of it? So these are some of the questions that we're going to be answering today. So let's just talk about vitamin C when we're consuming it. So I know that growing up, all of us here from our parents, you got to eat your fruits and vegetables. Well, it turns out that there's a lot of truth based in this when it comes to getting our access to vitamin C. And vitamin C is really needed for a lot of essential functions in the body. So one of these is actually to produce collagen or, you know, stable collagen molecules. So we need collagen for a lot of different functions of in our body. In the skin, we need it actually both for establishing what's called the basement membrane zone, which helps kind of connect the top layer of the skin or the epidermis to the dermis, but it's also a key component in the dermis, which is kind of the second layer of the skin, provides the thickness of the skin, if you will. It's also going to help support blood vessels. And so if you don't have vitamin C, those things tend to get weakened. We also need vitamin C, interestingly, to develop strong hair. And that's because vitamin C plays a role in creating what are called disulfide bonds, which strengthen our hair shafts. In addition to this, we need vitamin C to produce amino acids such as lysine and even tryptophan. We need it in order to make melanin, which is the pigment in our skin. We also need it to make neurotransmitters and even nicotinamide, which is used ultimately to help generate energy in the form of ATP. Without vitamin C, we can develop a condition called scurvy, which, if some of you are not familiar with, tends to result in significant bruising, and this can manifest in the joints, but also in the skin, and even around just the hair follicles, or what are called perifollicular hemorrhage. It leads to bumpiness on the skin, or it leads to increased problems with wound healing. It can also cause general fatigue and wiry corkscrew hair. Replenishing your vitamin C stores by eating fruit and vegetables tends to resolve all of these. In addition to all of these functions that I already discussed, eating vitamin C actually has been shown to improve skin appearance, hydration status, your overall radiance, reduce redness, and even decrease hyperpigmentation. Hopefully all of you like eating fruits and vegetables as much as I do, because it's clear that it provides a ton of benefits. Fortunately, even my toddlers love fruits and vegetables, sometimes just straight up, but sometimes I tend to hide them in things like banana nice cream. And this is something that I make actually pretty much every night with frozen bananas, frozen raspberries, and some almond butter in the blender. It is delicious, and I recommend trying it if you have never. So I've done a lot of reading about topical vitamin C in preparation for this podcast, because clearly the next question is eating it not sufficient? And the answer is no, it's not. The reason for this is because only a small portion of vitamin C that we consume actually gets transmitted to the skin. And the reason for that is probably, at least in part, because we don't have true blood vessels going through the top layer of the skin or the epidermis. So the penetration is not going to be great. So again, only a portion is going to go to the skin from what we eat. And it turns out that if you apply it topically, there are a ton of other benefits. So specifically, I'm going to enumerate 10 today. There's probably even more than this, but I don't want to overwhelm you all. And I kind of want to just want to highlight the key points here. So let's start with number one. So vitamin C topically has been shown to reduce photoaging or UV-induced skin damage. So specifically, there are a number of studies that can actually have shown improvement in wrinkles. So when applied topically once daily, after 12 weeks of use, topical vitamin C was shown to decrease wrinkling, not just around the eyes, but also on the cheeks as well. It also may help prevent new wrinkles that can be induced by the sun. And the reason for this is because vitamin C puts a block on the sun's ability to increase enzymes in our skin, what are called matrix metalloproteinases, which otherwise break down our collagen and tend to lead to those wrinkles. Vitamin C also topically can decrease the increase in elastin. So this is another substance that's found in the second layer of our skin, dermis, and it tends to build up as a result of sun damage. And so when we talk about sun damage as dermatologists, we talk about solar elastosis because one, we see increased levels of elastin, and two, we see decreased levels of collagen, or really replacement of collagen with a second type of collagen, something called collagen type 3, which tends to be weaker than type 1 collagen, which we otherwise tend to have in the dermis and higher levels. Some reference this as more of like a solar scar. So point one, topical vitamin C helps decrease photoaging. We can see this with once daily use for 12 weeks in the form of decreased wrinkling. Point two, vitamin C actually helps fade hyperpigmentation or darker areas of the skin. This kind of tags along with point one because one manifestation of sun damage is sunspots in the form of what are called lentigines. I know a ton of people don't like lentigines because I frequently see this in my clinic. Patients commonly asking, what can I do to fade these dark spots on my face? Fortunately, topical vitamin C has been shown to fade these, but it doesn't stop there. It can also help fade darkening of the skin caused by another condition that's common, particularly in females, called melasma. If you haven't heard of this, it's darkening on the skin, commonly on the cheeks and on the upper lip, frequently on the forehead as well. And this is thought to, at least in part, relate to hormones. So we'll commonly see it in like pregnancy or with relationship to birth control pills. But fortunately, vitamin C topically has been shown to decrease the darkness associated with this as well. And these are thought to be mediated through the effect called tyrosinase. So tyrosinase is an enzyme in the skin that produces the pigment or the melanin. And fortunately, vitamin C helps reduce its ability to make that melanin. Number three, vitamin C can actually help reduce roughness and may improve the texture of the skin. It's thought to do this because vitamin C can induce the keratinocyte or the skin cell differentiation. It may actually help increase the production of lipids that are found in our skin barrier. And interestingly, it also may help increase the number of what are called keratohyaline granules. So keratohyaline granules are a type of organelle that's found in skin cells. It contains a lot of components that are found to help generate the skin barrier, including something called filaggrin. And filaggrin, interestingly, is broken down further in order to produce what's called natural moisturization peptide, or rather NMF, natural moisturization factor. And so by increasing the production of these, it may actually help both with improved skin barrier function, but also moisturization. Okay, so point number four, vitamin C, particularly together with vitamin E, also has been shown to reduce sunburn or prevent sunburn. So this is really interesting. A study back in the Journal of Academy of Dermatology in 2003 looked at the impact of vitamin C topically on pig skin in response to sun exposure. So they were applying topical vitamin C 15% in combination with vitamin E 1% on pig skin. Then they would irradiate the pig with UV exposure, different levels of UV exposure, and they looked at a number of different criteria. So specifically when they were trying to see the impact on sunburn, they were looking at redness or erythema and then also sunburn cells. So they measured these two things using what's called a chromometer, and then actually by doing skin biopsy and looking for what are called sunburn cells, which are basically skin cells that have died or apoptosed as a result of UV exposure. They found that when you apply topical vitamin C and E about 30 minutes before sun exposure, you have decreased redness or sunburn, and you also have decreased sunburn cells. At higher levels of sun exposure, though, this was only found to be prevented if you combine vitamin C with vitamin E. And this is thought to at least be in part one because you're getting an additional antioxidant effect from the vitamin E, but you're also getting regeneration of the vitamin E from topical vitamin C. All right, so point five, vitamin C and E topically can actually help prevent UV or sun-induced DNA damage and may help prevent skin cancer too. So in the same paper that I just referenced back from the Journal of Academy of Dermatology, or the JAD, they also looked at sun damage with respect to something called thymine dimers. So interestingly, formation of this type of sun damage was nearly completely blocked in skin following vitamin C and vitamin E application. So how do vitamin C and E do this? Well, this is likely as a result of their function as antioxidants. So vitamin C is thought to be the primary antioxidant in the skin. It's the main antioxidant to help protect the aqueous, or like the water based compartment of the skin, which is more of like intracellular compartment. And vitamin E is thought to help protect the lipid membranes, which are kind of forming the outside of our skin cells. So by doing this, they are basically going to counteract the sun from producing what are called radical oxygen species, or ROS, which otherwise tend to damage DNA repair enzymes, which we otherwise need in order to help repair the DNA damage that the sun just caused. If you're not getting the accumulation of DNA damage from sun exposure, then this should ultimately then lead to decreased risk of skin cancer. Interestingly, just to kind of shortly jaunt back to oral vitamin C, there's some evidence that patients with melanoma may benefit from high-dose vitamin C, although honestly, the studies for this are very preliminary and additional studies need to be performed. So back in 2015, a study showed decreased levels of a protein called HIF-1, or hypoxia-induced factor 1 alpha, which is a protein that actually promotes tumor growth, apparently is inversely correlated with melanoma prognosis. And so patients that took vitamin C ended up having reduced melanoma growth or prevention of oncogenesis. All right, so back to topical vitamin C. So we are going to move on to point number 6. Vitamin C topically actually can help prevent damage from pollution. So yeah, so we might not necessarily commonly think about the impact of pollution on our bodies. Pollution can otherwise generate free radicals and break down collagen and increase inflammation. So once again, based on its role of an antioxidant, it's going to help decrease any reactive oxygen species, just like it does in response to sun exposure. And it's going to help protect us from pollution and its impact on our skin. Interestingly, patients that live in areas that have high pollution tend to have lower vitamin C levels at baseline, reinforcing the impact that vitamin C has on our skin with respect to pollution. So again, it's kind of helping as an antioxidant. It's very evident in these patients that it's really needed and that additional supplementation is desirable. All right, now we're going to kind of shift gears. So we've talked a lot about vitamin C topically and its impact on photoaging, prevention of sunburn, prevention of skin cancer potentially, but definitely DNA damage. Also prevention of the impact of pollution on our skin's damage as well. And now we're actually going to shift to eczema. So point number 7 is that vitamin C actually may help reduce eczema. So this is pretty interesting. So we're at least talking about allergy-induced eczema. There was one study that showed application of vitamin C in advance of application of a common allergen that's found in hair dye, something called PPD, to reduce and in some patients prevent the development of eczema. Point number 8, topical vitamin C may actually help with acne. This is super interesting. So many of us deal with acne, from teenagers to even middle-aged women. It's an annoying thing that we all deal with. So in terms of the impact on acne, there's actually a few studies that have looked at this. So one study back in 2005 demonstrated that vitamin C 1% helped reduce P. acne. So this is the bacteria that contributes to acne. Additional evaluation in the same study with vitamin C 5%, which is used over 3 months, was then shown to help acne. Then there was another study published in 2009 showed additional benefits in inflammatory acne. So this study looked at a 5% vitamin C solution, and they found that when applied after 1 month, there was a 20% decrease in inflammatory acne and nearly 50% decrease by 2 months of use. This, in fact, was only slightly enhanced by the addition of retinol, and the retinol used here was 0.2%. So this was thought to be improvement due to a few things. So one, retinols can enhance the penetration of the vitamin C. It also may help as well when it comes to the skin desquamation, which otherwise kind of plugs our skin pores. So skin desquamation means like the shedding of the skin. It helped remove comedones or blackheads, if you will, and also helped reduce reduce inflammation. So for a lot of patients, topical vitamin C might be kind of an easy addition to an acne regimen, or even if you just want to try an alternative therapy, that non-medical prescription therapy, then you may just want to initiate use at least once daily. All right, point number 9, vitamin C can help with wound healing, especially when taken orally, but also when used topically. So there was one study that specifically evaluated Asian patients, shown reduced scar formation when vitamin C was used topically. All right, and then number 10, here it is, you guys. Circling kind of back to point number 1, topical vitamin C can help with what's called solar purpura. So I'm circling back to point number 1 because solar purpura is a manifestation of sun damage just over time. So basically, if you're not familiar with this, as we get older, we'll frequently get thinning of our skin, especially on our forearms and sometimes our lower legs. And this presents not only just as very thin, fragile skin with easy tearing, but also commonly as big bruises. So if you haven't ever developed this yourself, you might see this on people just kind of like walking around the street or in stores. So you'll see these bruising, if you will. You'll also commonly see what are called just like stellate scars, star shape. That this may in fact be a result of reduced vitamin C levels in skin as we get older, although this is kind of more of a postulate. So this study that I'm referencing here demonstrated that when individuals use vitamin C 5% topically twice daily, it helped reduce the bruising, helped strengthen the skin as well, and overall improved the appearance of what's called, again, solar purpura. All right, so I think that I've enumerated a good number of points that really illustrates that topically vitamin C is extremely useful and that everyone should be using it because so many of us stand to benefit from this. Vitamin C topically is extremely beneficial, and there may even be benefit beyond the points that I've enumerated here. There's honestly so much literature out there if you start looking. So let's at this point circle back to the original questions. Should I be using vitamin C topically? How often and when? Is it better for certain people? And is eating it really not enough? Eating it's probably not sufficient because, again, only a portion of what we eat is going to get distributed to our skin or our epidermis. So I would recommend initiation of topical use. Who's going to stand to benefit the most? Honestly, probably elderly patients that have a lot of sun damage, or even smokers, or people that live in areas of high pollution. The reason for this is because these individuals tend to have lower vitamin C levels in their skin kind of at baseline. At least there are studies that show this. And so if they're replenishing it topically, then they really stand to benefit the most. But again, given the overall number of benefits, not just with improving the skin's appearance from sun damage, but helping prevent further impact of sun exposure and pollution, also with benefiting acne and even eczema, I really honestly think that so many people stand to show improvement from this. Okay, so if we're talking about vitamin C topically when it comes to sun damage or preventing effects of the sun, what you're going to want to do is get a vitamin C serum that has anywhere between 5-20% solution, because there are studies that show benefit with kind of this broad range. I would recommend that you use one that also has at least 1% vitamin E. And again, the reason for this is because both of these are antioxidants to the skin. Vitamin C is going to help protect the aqueous compartment of the skin, whereas vitamin E is going to help prevent any damage to our cells' membranes. And again, vitamin C is going to help regenerate vitamin E, that other antioxidant. So not only does it mechanistically make sense to use a solution that has both of these ingredients, there is evidence that when you combine both of them, the impact of vitamin C is enhanced. And this is actually further enhanced with the addition of one other antioxidant, something called ferulic acid, which I realized that I didn't actually discuss earlier in this podcast, but I do want to mention it here. So ferulic acid can further stabilize vitamin C and E, and it's also been shown to enhance the photoprotective abilities of vitamin C at least twofold. Okay, so let's kind of recap here. You want to use a solution of vitamin C at least 5-20% together with vitamin E 1% plus ferulic acid, ideally in a solution that has a pH of 3.5 or less, because this allows for the protonation concentration of the vitamin C and the full benefit. And you want to apply this once daily, ideally 30 minutes before sun exposure, to really optimize the benefit when it comes to going out in the sun. And in terms of how quickly you're going to see benefit, I'd expect that you'll start to see improvement, honestly, even within a few days. I know that I initiated vitamin C serum probably, honestly, within the last month. Pretty much immediately noticed some benefit in terms of the texture of my skin. I do feel that it feels more soft, but I've also noticed improvement in the degree of kind of pigment or overall like homogenization of my skin tone. So again, you're going to notice improvement relatively immediately, but I'd expect, based upon the literature, that you would notice improvement in wrinkling and the darkening of the skin probably at least by 3 months. All right. Well, I hope that this has answered a lot of questions for you that you may have otherwise had when it comes to vitamin C. If you have additional questions or additional thoughts, please reach out. I would love to talk with you. Beyond that, if you guys have any other additional ideas or things that you'd like us to cover, please let us know. If you like this podcast, please go ahead and subscribe. We'd love to have you as followers. Finally, I just want to let you know that I did review a number of articles for this podcast, and we will be referencing them in our show notes. Thanks so much, you all.